The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 324 of the 9 Years podcast. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you for downloading the show this week and listening however you have chosen to do so. Got a couple of games to review this week, amongst all the usual. But Stu, we talked during the summer about match reviews. There's an awful lot of content out there these days. There's about 8 different podcasts, although we are still 104% unofficial, of course. But various match day vlogs as well now on YouTube and everything like that. There's a lot and lot of coverage of every single game we play now. So we thought, rather than go in depth into games as a whole, we were going to pick out some main talking points, maybe 3 main talking points from each fixture, and elaborate on those. Of course, we should start with the win on Wednesday night against Coventry, our first home win in the League Cup since the year 2000. I think we were all very surprised by how it came about. We had made 5 changes for the team that started at Grimsby, including we put Nick Zanev in goal instead of Alex Bass, who'd started at Grimsby. Coventry themselves had made several changes. I think only 3 of their starting lineup had started against Leicester on their opening game of the season on the Sunday. 1-0 down in that half time, penalty to them. Fair enough, it was a definite foul that led to the penalty, took it well. We made a few substitutions, and 2 of the substitutes got us the win with goals in the 86th and then the 92nd minute. Omar Bugill and then Ryan McLean. Stu, of the 3 things we're going to look at, what is the first thing you wanted to discuss?
Well, yeah, do you know what? It's just when you said 7 changes from the Coventry team, because I was really surprised the strength of that team that they started with, bearing in mind they had that new American international, American player they signed, Hamer, who we believe at time of recording could potentially be off to the Premier League with Sheffield United. But it was just generally their strength. You looked at a lot of the teams elsewhere, especially because we played Wednesday night the previous night, there was a lot of teams, a lot of championship teams that exited the competition due to what were weaker teams. I think that was a surprise for me. We were chatting beforehand that Luton and Coventry were the supposedly bottom 6 budget in the championship last season. And you just don't expect Coventry to have that strength in depth. It sort of just shows you how far away you are from the championship in terms of squad sizes and players available.
Yeah, the championship is... Everyone said for many years, I'd rather be in the championship. It's a much more exciting league than the Premier League. You don't get all the pressures of stupid kickoff times and expensive players and everything like that. But really, it has become Premier League 2 now. I think there's a... Yeah. I think we learned in our time in League 1, didn't we, that essentially, take the top maybe 8 clubs, top third of League 1. And on after that, it's just a massive, massive gap. It just seems that's the way it's gone. I'm quite happy to avoid the championship now, to be honest with you, which I didn't think I'd ever say. But clearly Coventry with a bottom 6 budget last season, they got to the playoff final.
Yeah, I think it's even lower than that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think, definitely bottom 6.
And you look at, as you say, the size of the squad, the quality of the squad, how much investment must have gone in there. I think the striker you mentioned, cost about $7 million, I believe, which is crazy.
You've got Sims as well. They signed from Everton. Who was on loan at Sunderland last year. Everton brought him back. Probably not a surprise. And then you've got Casey Park. There was a lot of talent in that forward line. And also you've got Godden as well, who scored a penalty. Mm. That was just my overall. I was really surprised at the strength and when they made subs. It didn't feel like it weakened them. Hamer coming off obviously weakens any team, I believe, in that league. But the team they finished with was strong, which brings you on to sort of, you could say it's smash and grab, but it wasn't as if they weakened their team, in my opinion. I think they were strong throughout.
I think it was smash and grab in the sense of the equaliser was our first shot in the second half. And Coventry were. I know Mark Robbins, their manager, wasn't happy afterwards and said they didn't start well. They didn't start particularly great. I think Aaron Sasso on the left caused them a few problems. They struggled to get to grips with him at the very beginning of the game. But once they'd sort of nullified that threat, I think they were seeing things out really quite comfortably, to be honest with you. And hey, man of the match. Yes, man of the match. None of this player nonsense that people keep trying to creep in. Was obviously Nick Zanev. I don't think anyone can disagree with that. I know some people picked out a couple of others, but in terms of their importance to the result, no one had a bigger hand to play in that for me than Nick Zanev, with the number of saves he made, a number of excellent saves he made. But big thing that happened in our favour was the substitutes, as we've mentioned. And actually, there we go. Already spoke about it with Craig Cope a couple of weeks on the podcast. He highlighted problems with not having the depth. And all of a sudden, we've got players that can come on and actually have an influence on proceedings rather than essentially just making up numbers.
Yeah, because I know there was Sasu come off, and there was, you know, people like, you know, do we need to take him off? I think we have to remember Sasu, his age. He's certainly getting people excited. There's no doubt about that. But when you're able to bring on Josh Norville, Omar Begal, Ryan McLean, who we've not seen much of, it just shows you that sort of depth that we've got. And they are game changers. And of course, I forgot, obviously, Ali coming off for Josh Davison. When you look at it, we never had that strength in depth. And you could argue we're still about our two fullbacks in terms of Jack Curry and Hussweiler. So when you add that to the mix, the squad looks strong. The key thing is, and you're right, as you spoke with Craig Cope, is making sure we manage those injuries. We've got a strong squad, but we want to manage it. Because if we can stick with this nucleus of a team, I think we showed Tuesday the early signs of a squad that is capable of dealing with League Two a lot better than we did last year.
We also showed it on Wednesday, which was most pleasing, because otherwise, probably would have not got anything from the game at all. We will come on to the fullbacks and injuries and things like that, and especially and Ali as well, when we look at the Grimsby game shortly. Just one thing I didn't mention when we just did an overview at the start there was sort of formation-wise, we seem to start. So at Grimsby, we seemed a definite 4-4-2 that we lined up with. This seemed more like maybe a 4-4-1-1 with Harry Pell pushed up, sort of trying to link with Ali up front. Seemed to be a lot of back to front. We were either trying to hit Harry Pell and use his height to gain some advantage, or we were trying to turn around their back four really quickly and get Ali in behind. That seemed to be what we were aiming for.
Yeah, I was saying to you on the live show, wasn't it, that it could be a 4-4-2. But sometimes it does drop into, you're right, Harry Pell does drop in sometimes. So I think the idea is naturally his height, isn't it? You know, his height, either flick on for Ali or to hold the ball up and bring Sasu and James Tilley into the game. I think, obviously, I think it's difficult to judge based on Coventry because of their strength. But definitely when we went with Omar and Josh Davison, I think that did become more of a 4-4-2, probably because of that we were chasing the game. But I think Omar can link in. I think Omar's more of a natural forward. And I think Harry Pell is... Oh, I still think Harry Pell's caught in between two ploys, if that makes sense, with that. But I think Harry Pell's got the right strength there. But yeah, I thought it was meant to be a 4-4-2, but I think it dropped in with Pell probably playing as a 10 and Ali playing up front his own.
Yeah, and then we had Ball and Reeves sort of centre midfielders holding role, as you say, very difficult to judge against Coventry. But also Aaron Armani Little comes on late as well. And again, just those extra fresh legs as well, if nothing else, gave Coventry an extra thing to think about, put a few extra pressure on them, got us higher at the pitch maybe, all things that lead to eventually an equaliser and then a winner. And we have to say, I mean, I know this is one thing that, you know, everyone's already been speaking about, the quality of the finishes for both goals were extraordinary. And it almost felt like when the ball dropped to Omar for the equaliser, it almost felt like, I don't know, it kind of felt like you knew he was going to score. I don't know why you sometimes get that feeling, the way it just dropped to him, centre of the goal. Felt like he got his foot over it and then in we go. The second got the finish, just, you can see it, you can kind of see that that's how, if he was going to shoot, he'd have to be on the volley. then to pull it off that way is something else.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because like, if you the first goal, one thing I noticed is Josh wins the ball and plays it into McLean. But Omar and Josh are both then literally sprinting into the air, which again shows you the strength off the bench in terms of fresh legs. But when the ball goes in, Josh is the one who tries to get to it first, misses it, and then Omar comes in on the edgy area. I thought that would just show a massive difference. It was a great finish, half volley. Keeper did have a chance. The second one is a really good move. It's a set play in terms of a restart, throw goes into, Ogundiri plays it into Reeves. Reeves, clever touch. One touch from Ogundiri and crosses the ball in. It's a weird volley because it's a left foot volley across the keeper. Hmm. In terms of, you don't see many left footers like that, if that makes sense. Like, in terms of, it's probably more of a right footed volley than a left footed volley, but it's a great finish. It's a great finish. And do you know what? That would do a world of good because he said in an interview after the game that, he wasn't in the squad for Grimsby. But he's still, hey, look, he's still coming from non-league. He's definitely one of the players that you would say was taking the chance on. And that would do his confidence a world good. He's a very tenacious, I don't know what you thought of him, but he's a very tenacious player in terms of tracking back as well. He's tenacious and he's got a bit of pace for him. I like the look of him, I really do, but he's definitely potential. He's, I think he will fit in and out of the squad this season.
Yeah, but the sort of signing, as we've always said, is the sort of ones you want to take, don't you?
Agree.
Give him a go and see what you get out of him. And then comes up, great moment for him on his debut, home debut, championship team, cracking finish for him. Do you know, we said last week what we're looking for this season, we talked about memories and actually having memories at Plough Lane. Like we got off the season exactly with that, exactly that. We'll always remember that one, I think. Well, for many, many years, people were there will remember it. It turned into a really positive evening. It felt like there was a bit of a weight lifted in the sense of, a League Cup win, but, Johnny Jackson, if you remember the end of last season, people calling for his head, walking off Plough Lane, getting a bit of stick as they were leaving the pitch, actually, on the last home game. Come back in, first game at Plough Lane in the new season, get a great win, rewarded with a second round tie, which will excite many people, some more than others. we'll come on to that later as well. But it just felt like there was a real positive momentum. And also, the key thing was, we at no point, having gone 2-1 up, did we look like we were going to really concede it. Nick had to pull off one fantastic save. But there seemed to be a little bit more of assuredness about us. Perhaps with a number of changes in the squad as well, not having that hangover from last season and the inability to keep a lead.
Yeah, do you know what I was quite impressed with, actually? I like Johnson and Lewis as a centre-half pairing. I really do. I think they win the balls easy. I think they do the simple things simply, put it that way. But what I even when we equalised, obviously Coventry then wanted to go and push on. But I remember Johnson winning a couple of headers, didn't let the ball bounce, went and attacked the header. I think, and I'm not looking at what we're going to do against Championship team, even though obviously that was a game we had. But I feel in a League Two, I feel this team is suited to dealing with what we know League Two is about. I like that centre pairing. But you're right, we didn't feel like we were going to lose a game. But if you're going to score a goal in the 92nd minute and you've got 4 or 5 minutes to play, you got a chance. I was surprised there was only 6 minutes additional time, to be fair. I was expecting double that.
Yeah, thankfully there seems to be a bit of common sense because there was no reason to play any more than that whatsoever. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that one this week. The third talking point you wanted to discuss, kit colours.
I was thinking more about you, right? Because I was watching a Leicester Coventry game on Sunday and was surprised both teams were playing in their home colours, bearing in mind they were a different shade of blue. And I thought to myself, I wonder if they're going to do that for the home game against us, and they did. I just seen so many times where a team that's got even a close resemblance to our kit would just go into their away kit. And I was quite pleased. And my wife was watching the highlights and even she said that, oh, that's a bit risky. No, that's how it used to be. I'm sounding like you now, aren't I?
Yeah, exactly. There was no reason whatsoever for Coventry to change their kit. Not one reason whatsoever. They did, I think I'm right in saying, the last time they played at King's Meadow, they played in Sky Blue. I think when they played us in the FA Cup, they played us in Sky Blue. I think there was one time they turned up and they did change in a midweek game. But Yeah, there's no reason. And this, yeah, anyway, there's not much more to say about that, really.
No,
the kids don't clutch, so why
there's
would you
no
change?
Reason. But we know that doesn't need to be a reason sometimes, does there? And that was a pleasing thing. Just see two teams in the home kit. Obviously, we should be in our home kit because we're at home.
Well, I would say because I'm the thing is that this is the thing that people have tried to get the technicality of the language here when people say, well, it's your home kit and then you have an away kit for when you're away. Whereas I am of the opinion it's first choice colours and then change colours. And you should always be in your first choice colours unless there is a clash in which you can't be. So Coventry have no excuse. Wrexham, we shall see what they do on Saturday. So it should be in red.
Yes,
of course.
Surely. Yeah.
But surely
they have most times we played them, I believe, haven't they?
The two times they've played us or come down to us previously, they have done. But I don't think we've. But tell you what, the two times we've gone away to Wrexham, we've not worn blue.
That's rocket, though, isn't it? That's rocket. Silliness. Obviously, hadn't cleaned the kit properly.
Silliness. But you know, the whole point of it is that your colours. If your colours aren't important, then why do you have? You know what I mean? Like, it's tradition, isn't it? You want to see your team in your traditional colours. I say you don't want to imagine you're a Manchester United fan, you go to watch Manchester United, you want to see, like, it's the first time you go and see Manchester United and they're not playing in red, you'd be a bit like, well, if unless they're playing Liverpool, for example, but you know what I mean, like, why would you?
Anyway,
that's that, put that one to bed for now. We were in our first choice colours away at Grimsby on the weekend, which I was very pleased to see until I realised that we couldn't be in white because Grimsby's kit is half white, and we couldn't be in the third kit because it's too close to the black of Grimsby as well, so we had no other option. But hopefully at Sutton, maybe, well, I suppose we've got, yeah, no, actually we could be, because we've got Sutton in a couple of, well, in fact next Saturday,
we've got Colchester midweek first,
yeah, but Sutton. we can't wear our blue against Colchester, I wouldn't have thought, so we can't wear white either, so we'll probably be in the black iris kit
with gold shorts,
Colchester.
With gold shorts.
And then Sutton, we should be in first choice blue. But the Grimsby game, so as you said, problem we had away at Grimsby was apparently a lack of a left back. So what did we do? Did we put Johnson at left back?
Yeah,
we put Alex Pearson to partner Joe Lewis at centre half. Isaac Ogundere, as you say, in right back in place of Hussein Baila for the immediate future. But yeah, we had to deal with. In the lineup, seemed to be a 4-4-2, as we've mentioned. Ali Alhamadi missed a penalty just on the hour mark, having won the penalty. And yeah, I mean, the place to start here is the left back situation, because have we had an update on Jack Curry?
I believe it was just after we tweeted the squad. I think we said that he was injured. I'm not too sure about Lee Brown, but obviously he was available for Wednesday, so maybe he had a knock to, affect you on that. But it was weird to have two left backs not available and have to move Johnson out. To be fair, I thought Johnson done all right. The only thing I think it affected us on was really getting forward. Johnson's not an attacking fullback, he's a centre half filling in, and I felt that just restricts us and in that way we didn't really get along up the pitch too much. But you could argue, I think Grimsby are a decent side. It's always difficult first game of the season. I think they're definitely better than they were last year. Mm-hmm. They've definitely strengthened, especially when they can leave Luke Waterford on the bench, which I think is a really good defender at League Two level. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good point for us. But yeah, well, you get a penalty. It's a poor penalty. But you know what? With the transfer window still being open, I'm quite good that he's not very good at something, because it just means then that someone won't, you know, if he scores a penalty. I've just had his vision. I know he shouldn't do, but I'm like, he's going to score first game of the season. Interest, you know, you want to keep Ali, don't you? Do you know what I mean? He does look. He come on as sub, and the first thing he does is get the penalty, and they were literally frightened living daylights out of him.
I was say Reece plays the ball through. It seems to be a tactic we're looking to do is try and hit that early ball, try to get him in behind as quickly as possible. That's how we win the penalty. Yeah. Teams, if they're smart, they're going to have to drop deep to defend against that.
Yeah, obviously being at home, the team is obviously more suited to be pushing forward, isn't it? And you're right, it was from a breakaway. But I think we've got the quality to do that, you know, especially you've got Addy up front. But when you've got players like Little and Reeves in midfield, and there's a lot of energy in this team. This team is, one thing I probably would say, this team's a fit team. Mm. The players have all said they've never had a pre-season like it. You never know sometimes, well, that's just because they've had poor pre-seasons elsewhere. But this team does seem full of legs. And when you got the Duracell in midfield, he just runs and runs and runs in Reevesy. I think we will get a few goals on the break.
Yeah, and Ali, as the substitute, as we said before, we now seem to have options. We now seem to have Josh coming on the reverse on Wednesday night, but you know,
yeah,
the options of having strikers that can come in and move it around, and perhaps Sasu, who started wide left on Wednesday, perhaps we can see him more centrally as well in the future. Suddenly gives teams, you know, Craig Coates spoke about the Akinfenwa, Taylor, Aziz, Elliot, yeah, foursome, so to speak, looking to perhaps recreate that.
Yeah, I still think if we're going to do that, I still think we're a striker short, if I'm being blunt, mm-hmm. I think. So I don't think Harry Pell's a forward. I think he's in between.
Sasu.
He can certainly do it. Do you know what? Every time I've seen Sasu play, he plays wide. He's just... Hey, look, I like him a lot. I think he's very deceiving. He's got very long legs. And when his stride pattern's so long, he gets away from people. He'd only get better. I like him a lot, I must admit. I don't know whether he's an out and out forward. Probably not yet anyway. I still think we're a forward short. I still think we could just deal with, I think we've got two, you know, we've got Harry Pell, Omar, who can play the ball and can hold it, and you've got Davison and Ali can go behind. I'd really love if we just get a young, nippy, fast forward just to, like we say, I think, you know, we could go with a four, but there's definitely options. And we can bring Ali on as a sub. Their two centre halves didn't like it at all. And you know what? You could argue that his penalty, you could argue the player could have got sent off for it. That would have made it. I know when you get a penalty, it's a pen, but there wasn't much attempt to play the ball. I think it was a home decision. But we missed the pen. And Ali is human after all.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who was taking pens last year. I know Josh took a Davison, couple. Yeah, but I don't think it was just... I don't know. I thought someone else started taking them.
We didn't get many penalties, to be fair, did we?
That's true, actually.
But I was thinking that when Ali took it. Josh wasn't on the pitch, of course, anyway. It wasn't really... Or Reeves, or Jake Reeves. I don't think he's taking penalties, but he takes all set plays, doesn't he? So, but then it's like anything, isn't it? I've always opinion that a forward takes penalties because that's their job. They can't take penalties. If you can't take a shot from 12 yards, then why are you a forward? That's always my...
My counter-argument to that would be, if you had someone in your squad like Julian Dix taking penalties, why would you put anyone else ahead of him?
Yeah, that's fair. And do you know what? I was watching the penalty shootout. There was a penalty shootout in the Women's World Cup. Can't think it was now. And the six penalties. So when he goes into sudden death, the sixth penalty was... I was in the American game against...
Sweden?
I can't think of Beaton. Possibly. But the sixth penalty was a goalkeeper. And I'm thinking, it's actually a sixth forward. It's actually a sixth best striker, then you've got a problem. Goalkeeper staying goal.
I can't believe, Stu, your coaching career never took off with this sort of insight. Goalkeeper staying goal, done. That's it. Nothing else. Don't need any more.
If you're playing, right, and you go to sudden death and this guy with the sixth penalty take is going to be the goalkeeper, you'd be thinking, 1 second, what about the other five then? Or four? Five?
Well, five. If they were the sixth, then... Yeah.
The goalkeeper should be the last one to take the penalty if it's sudden death, surely.
I would have thought so, but it's often not been the case. I've noticed a number of times where goalkeepers come and not been the 11th taker, as it were. Do you remember when we had to do it against Wickham when they knocked out the FA Cup back in 2001? Kelvin Davis took a penalty. Their goalkeeper, what was it, Taylor, was it, took a penalty as well. That was ridiculous. What a ludicrous cup tie that ended up being. Ridiculous.
When the ball was still in orbit after Mark Williams.
And Mark Williams is...
Did you play in green that day?
We played in white.
That's close. White and green, wasn't it? Wasn't it green?
Yeah, green trim. Yeah.
I don't know why I remember that. I can't remember most of it. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, no, we'll see. We're going to test your memory in a moment about former meetings with Wrexham in our new game, which we'll come on to shortly. Let's talk about League Two then, opening day. Don't know if there's anything in particular you wanted to reference, Stu. I just was looking around, and the result that stood out to me was Harrogate winning at Doncaster, mainly because I've got Harrogate down to struggle this season. Doncaster are tipped to do much better this season. But the big news before kickoff was their striker, Luke Armstrong, who I think has been integral to them these last few seasons. subject of much transfer interest and actually withdrew himself from selection, I understand. So as it stands, I believe he's still at the club. He's not gone anywhere.
He withdrew himself from selection.
Apparently.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, this is, you're just not quite sure exactly what the truth is. And the club might say differently and say that, you know, they've decided to, but anyway, for whatever reason, he was not in the squad, but Harrogate still got a 1-0 win, which I think is a fantastic win for them.
Yeah, especially when Doncaster have been spending a bit of money over the summer. There was a few actually. Do you know what? I thought the win at Stockport for Grimsby with a late goal. Scott Grimsby, Gillingham, sorry. Start with G, didn't it? I thought the late goal for Gillingham at Stockport has gone off the radar a bit. I think that could be those two teams could be up and around automatic promotion.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cracking win for Gillingham. Sutton beating Notts County. Obviously, I know Notts County down. We're down to 10 men, but they've still put Notts County away. And Sutton look to be doing what they normally do with that. And do you know what? Morecambe, you know, talk about winning first game of the season. Morecambe are home to Walsall.
Mm.
Again, Morecambe let a lot of players go in the summer. So again, you know, I'm looking down, stupidly, I'm looking down the bottom of the league in terms of these like 6-pointers and stuff. But you're right, Harrogate getting a win and Morecambe getting off to a good start is good.
Yeah, and we'll come on to Wrexham very shortly, as they are our next opponents. A couple of things to finish up on before we do that. So yes, League Cup second round draw. We were drawn away to Chelsea. Anyone who is not a Chelsea fan should never refer... All right, I fucking hate Chelsea. Fucking hate them. Nobody
hate
who
them.
Yes. Nobody who isn't a Chelsea fan should ever, ever refer to their stadium as The Bridge. The amount of times I've already seen this happening, oh, I've not gone down to The Bridge since... No, I thought, shut up. Shut up. Don't call it... No. It's Stamford Bridge, okay? And I will tell you, if you were one of those people that has never been there... It's a shithole. Do you know why? Because it's fucking Chelsea's ground. But anyway.
You know what, has it never had a naming? I'm just thinking, obviously, it's Stamford Bridge, but has it ever been had a, you know, like...
No, it's not had a sponsored name.
The Etihad or...
No.
No, that's what I was just thinking. So, I've always called it Stamford Bridge. There's a lot of things I've called it, apart from Stamford Bridge. But
yeah.
Do you know what? I know it's money. I know we're pretty guaranteed a good... Well, I think probably a low six-figure... some from it, which is going to be good. I'd just love to have them at home, though.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I know the money would have been lower, but potentially could have been...
It would have been on TV. Yeah.
Well, you don't know. Man,
tell you what, this is another thing that's really annoyed me. Like, the amount of people that have gone, why is it not on TV? Why has it not been chosen for TV? There's a chance it's a United League 2 team with it. It's like, no, it never happens. What do you not understand? TV companies are driven by... money, and they want to get the highest number of viewers. And when it comes to Premier League teams versus League Two teams, the reason those games go on TV is the probability of an upset. And the probability of an upset is ridiculously, infinitely more when the League Two team is at home. When the League Two team is away, no one could care. And also, no one outside of Wimbledon and Chelsea cares about this fixture. But there's this assumption that people believe this is a big... South London derby with hit, like nobody else cares outside of our club, to be honest with you. Some people are so insular in their thinking about AFC Wimbledon, don't realise that outside of AFC Wimbledon, not a whole lot of people really care. Like,
yeah.
Do you care about Port Vale, Stu?
No. Only because they used to have Robbie Earl, and it's a really weird ground. They call it the Wembley of the North, don't they?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, of course, if it's Wimbledon at home to Chelsea, then it's the Wimbledon story against Chelsea.
And the romance of it.
I don't think the South London thing comes into it even then, does it? It just becomes they're a mid-table Premier League team, aren't they? So, on that side of it. I tell you what will be interesting, though, is they're going to play a weaker side, but they've got a hell of a lot of players. So that weaker side could include players like Lukaku and the keeper. Keeper. I always don't know. So it's still going to be a strong team, you're right. But hey, look, we budget to not make any money from the cups. We budget to be drawn away and not win. So I think.
But we still do that because that was an Eric thing.
Yeah, I don't think. Joe, you know, we never really discussed budgets, have we? But I think, Joe, you know, I think you'd be stupid to. Let's not forget, in the non-league days, we had clubs that would budget to do well in the FA Cup and then get to January and have no money and then let most of their players go non-league. We've seen that, haven't we? So I don't think we're that naive, but I would have thought a sensible budget would be to not to think you're going to do well in the Cup, especially with our recent history.
Yes, absolutely. The other thing, that aside, Alfie Bendall departed this week to Forest Green Rovers, never to eat meat again. I mean, I guess his first team options were limited, and therefore that is why we've said, you know what, if you want to be playing first team football, then it's not going to be here, so look elsewhere. And he's ended up where, is it Will Daniels at Forest Green?
Yeah, Will Daniels has gone there. Yeah,
and remind so people also... who he was with us.
He was part of our recruitment team, wasn't he? I don't know what his official title was, but he's obviously still in the game and he's gone there. And obviously, Bendall was one of the players that he helped bring into the club. Do you know what, Ben? It's difficult with Alfie, isn't it? Because he needs games. I think the rumour is, and I've heard this enough times, is that he's not cheap in terms of what we... Because he was well sought after when we bought him in. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's cheap in terms of what we were probably paying wage-wise elsewhere. And ultimately, you want to have, if you're going to be paying a decent wage, you want to have that on the pitch. So it's one of those, would he get in there this season? Would he have to go on loan? The argument will be, you know, it'll be very interesting to see is what involvement he has with Forest Green, because they've bought quite a lot of players in the summer. So if he is starting for them or stuff, it could be an interesting one. But I think we've got some sort of transfer percentage on him.
Yeah, sell-on clause,
Sell-on clause. So that's good. We've been sensible with that. But yeah, he goes our best wishes. It's a shame. I like him, but equally, when you look at the midfield we've got and what midfield we need for this league, Alfie probably doesn't fit that.
Forest Green visit us in a few weeks' time, of course. And right. Aaron Sasupa match game. I'm going to read you a sentence, Stu. Just want you to fill in the blanks for me. Okay.
Happy days.
Right. Well, we host Wrexham on Saturday. Our last meeting with Wrexham happened on Tuesday, the 22nd of February, 2011, at King's Meadow. Mateus Pogba scoring the only goal to secure a win for a Wrexham side managed by blank blank.
Oh, my days. I've got their name, isn't it? Would it have been 2011 is what? 12 years ago. Oh, my days. I've got no... Was he Welsh? I'm trying to get a clue now.
Well, I'll give you a clue. Yes, this person was Welsh.
It wasn't Flynn, was it? Something Flynn.
No. Something
Flynn. That's what I'm saying. It's way back, isn't it?
No. Have a random guess. Random guess.
Well, a Welsh one.
A Welsh, yeah.
A Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones. No, sadly not. Do you know who it was? And I didn't remember this one. This is why I was actually interested. I was trying to think who was, because if you remember, that was obviously the season we won promotion to the Football League. And it was Wrexham got to the playoff semi-finals as well. Luton beat them in the playoff semi-finals.
Oh, yes.
Dean Saunders. Can you believe? I know, right? I know.
Wow.
Yeah. Dean Saunders.
He was rubbish, wasn't he? He was another one for though. He wasn't very good, but obviously had a... Wow.
Yeah, so there
I wouldn't have guessed that, to be fair. But
No, you didn't.
I thought I'd go with the typical Welsh name.
The typical Welsh name.
They won't have anyone with Jones in their name on Saturday, I would have thought.
I don't think so. What they do have is they have Phil Parkinson in the dugout. He was present at Plough Lane on Wednesday. Wrexham, of course, champions of the National League last season. Everyone's tipped them to go straight through this division. They've just signed James McLean from Wigan, which just shows you how much investment goes in there. Don't forget, they've still got Elliot Lee, of course, as well. Top signing for them last season. Ollie Palmer, we all know about, of course. Billy Waters was a signing they got from Barrow last season. He seems to be starting at the moment. But last week, they lost 5-3 at home on their first game of the season, despite having 23 shots to their opposition's 8. So you do wonder how many chances they were actually creating and whether it was just a case of, similar to Coventry, not taking their chances. They still scored 3 times, by the way. It just seems to be of a freak result. They beat Wigan on penalties in the Cup. And again, dominated with 21 shots to about six, I think. They also made eight changes to their team. So the team that played on Tuesday against Wigan in the Cup, there was eight changes from the team that had started the league on the Saturday, because we had had the five, as we've said. It's a bit of a circus. Let's just get this game out of the way. Let's just try and cause an upset. It would be quite funny if they were to lose their opening two matches of the season, wouldn't it?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I know you're saying by an upset, because all the everything's about Wrexham, isn't it? On our side of it. I think if you're going to play teams when they come up from the league below, I think you play them early before they get in their sort of
style.
Yeah. You know, but they haven't made much changes, because, like you say, they recruited well in the National League, so it wasn't as if they had to recruit heavily when they come up. Hey, look, do you know what? I think we've got a great chance of winning, simply because we're quite mean at the back. We've got our first win of the season. I think we've got a decent squad. And also, I'm not going to call it a cup final, because I hate that sort of thing, but it's going to be a sellout. They're going to bring their loads, and I think we're going to want to beat them. But if we beat them, I don't think it's an upset in that sort of sense. I think this league's a tough league. But they will have a bit of pressure on them. They won't want to go through not winning their first two league games. But it's a nice game for us. It'll be the razzmatazz on it and everything like that. But I'm fancying us to beat them.
It'd be interesting to see what respective managers do with lineups, because we then go away, as we say, Colchester in the league on Tuesday. Wrexham have Warsaw, yeah. Big European tie on the Tuesday. So you wonder what that effect it has in terms of managers thinking for lineups and things like that. But anyway, any scoreline prediction?
I think we'll win 3-1.
Wow. What a prediction. Okay, we'll see. We shall see. You were right with the 0-0 at Grimsby last week, it must be said. Elsewhere in League Two, fixtures that appeal. I've just spotted Barrow versus Sutton, surely because Sutton, as you say, had that big win against Notts County on the opening day, did very, very well. I think he's got Harry Smith up front, who seems to have endeared himself very much so with the Sutton fans. Barrow won at Tranmere, good win for them on the opening day as well. So I think it'll be an interesting game. That said, it'll probably be 0-0.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm looking towards Notts County versus Grimsby. I'm just interested to see how Notts County's bounce back from a, let's be fair, a drubbing at Gander Green Lane, was it?
People bounce back.
Yes, the bounce back ability, as they say. Mm. But I'm also, I think Grimsby, I know a few people have gone, it's not a great draw at Grimsby, they're not great. I tend to disagree. And I think that'd be an, I'm just interested to see how they do. Because I think Grimsby is a decent point for us in that all. That was sent out. But of course, you've got Crawley going to Salford, haven't you? Crawley, obviously, we thought we were going to get absolutely banged, and they won against Bradford. How bad must Bradford be if they got beat by a non-league team?
I was going to say Salford versus Crawley is this week's designated non-league fixture in League Two. I think, with all due respect to Forest Green Rovers, it's Forest Green lost to Salford on the opening day, and I think there was 12 people there. Anyway, it's not about the size, as we all know. Anyway, Stu, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That brings us to a close this week, really. Thank you very much for listening. Updates from both games, Wrexham, Colchester, will be on our Twitter at 9WirelessPodcast. Don's TV will be live before kickoff on YouTube and Facebook. For those of you not attending the game with Wrexham on Saturday, get your preview just before kickoff. Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
No, Rob, so I was going to say, definitely join us. We've got some guests, John Green, and we've got Mark Robinson joining us. And we've got Wrexham fans as well. So we've got loads of people joining us. It's going to be a busy area.
It's going to be a busy time, and I will be very polite and cordial to the Wrexham fan, but it might be tricky anyway.
The Wrexham fan, by the way, their podcast got 35,000 followers.
Mm, wonder why that is.
Wonder how many of them come in the last couple of years.
Mm, say no more. Anyway, thank you very much, G.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.